everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle, and I should have used my podcast money on anger management.
Kyle, I have an opening line that I am now too uncomfortable to say out loud, but just go for it. Kyle, I didn't even finish watching the tell-all because I was busy covering a penis scandal in my husband's sperm for the sex magic.
Yeah, it's burning in the background. I can see it.
Yeah.
How do you feel? It's kind of strange that you're doing that before a podcast with another man, but I'll allow it. It's fine. My other opening line was, I just got back from traveling to another city because I'm founding an internet trading company there, and I have to be at a physical location for my internet trading company.
That's a Diaries reference, so not everybody's going to get that, but yes. Kyle, the unseen bachelor party footage from the Gino, I watched it twice. I laughed so hard. I love, like, from the beginning, like, I cackled when they showed the preview. And they're like, and we have never seen before footage. I was like, yes, this is what we asked for all season. We were like, wait a minute. We barely saw those strippers. They've got to have more. Happen.
I knew I it was it. Coming.
You did.
I knew.
Kyle's always right sometimes. I know.
It's so great.
It's
Gino's face. I mean, Gino's face when they were showing that footage, it made the entire season. He's just like tucking his chin into himself, like, oh God, if I become a turtle, they won't see me anymore.
You have a great screenshot. I'll put it on Instagram. But you know, oh, Kyle, I did have another really important question for you. Who would you have a kid with in the 90 Day universe, if not your wife?
Of all of the fucking audience questions they could, just next time, just DM me, TLC and Matt Sharp, please. These questions are so stupid.
Oh, okay. No, nobody you'd have a kid with. So who would you hook up with? Just like randomly.
Nope. Nah. Clayton.
I'm like, nobody is going to answer that question. I liked that. Okay. Here's the big controversial conclusion that I have coming out of that tell-all. Is Rob like way more likable?
No, but I think he's not completely wrong about some of the things that came up.
I think they're going to do a flip in HEA because I was team Rob only on this tell-all. I know that sounds insane, but like Sophie, like, okay, Sophie, like you can't complain about your husband and gang up on your husband with your mom. You know what I mean? Like either divorce him and talk shit about him, which I'm on board with. But, like, you can't, like, you kind of got to be an aligned partnership, you know? You're married.
That's youthful immaturity, you know? Yeah. Even if mom is completely right, you have to shift a little bit on the ride or die scale if you want to keep that marriage going. So, like you said, you're right. I mean, you kind of have to pick. And it doesn't mean that you... It doesn't even mean that you have to like agree with Rob or something. It just means be a little bit more supportive in front of other people and then fight later about it, like in private.
I did think he had a point to like, she keeps calling him lazy for not getting a better apartment, but it sounds like once they were married, he did fix the situation. And he said like, okay, we had already applied for the K-1. Were you literally just not going to come? We would have had to start all over. And I do kind of see his point that, like, logistically, if he really couldn't afford another apartment, and who knows what his circumstances are at that point, because nobody fucking tells us. But, like, yeah, what kind of options did they have? Either she comes and they stay in the shitty apartment until they can get a better place, which it doesn't seem like took very long after they got married, or, like, you cancel the whole visa. And she's been living in Mexico on her mom's dime. Why didn't mom chip in for an apartment then? If mom's like paying her rent in Mexico.
How many times have we heard Sophie also say that she could have afforded her own place and paid her own way?
Then pay for both of you. What, this is a marriage. What are you doing?
I just don't understand why mom was paying at all if she was making all this money from OnlyFans, and she constantly talks about how she could have paid her own way if she could. I don't know. But I agree that a lot of this seems like beating a really dead horse. Like, yeah. The horse has been dead for a long time.
Poor like, horse.
She is still relitigating this apartment. I think yeah. Rob has a bit of a point when he says, like, what are we supposed to do? Cancel the visa? Her response is, well, you weren't working.
Right. But he says he was. He says he had two jobs.
But remember,
he lost one. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I think he was just doing gig work, which no shade, but I don't think he had like an actual job. Remember at the beginning of the season, he explained his job was basically gym. And we made fun of him. Like, I don't think he was fucking hustling. I think he probably was playing a lot of video games. So I can see both sides of that. But at this point, Kim, we learned this week that wedding was 2 years ago.
Robin Sophie?
Yes, from a post that Sophie made on Instagram. She says, finally, after over 2 years, I can share more wedding photos. So you're going on, like, I get it. You have to go on a tell-all and you have to rehash all the fights. But they literally moved to Texas, it sounds like, a week after the wedding.
Yeah.
So it's just I don't know. I feel like they just dwelt on that. Is dwelt a word? Dwelled on that way too long.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's
Jasmine freaks out, which is bingo card checkbox. Everyone wins. That shouldn't even be on the bingo card. That should just be the center square.
Did her boobs get bigger?
They always look bigger. Every single time.
They always look bigger.
Yeah.
Do you know how angry that Nikki was that nobody asked her about her ass implants? Like, she was like, but my butt implants. Everybody's like, no, we only care about Jasmine's.
I do want to correct the record, I guess, or just admit that I was wrong about her prediction. I predicted that Nikki would completely take over this tell-all and just be insufferable. I don't think she was at all.
No, but she tried. You know, in the green, which we'll go through play by play, but in the green room, she was like, well, he told me this and that. The other, I was like, oh, she's already trying to steal the narrative. But yeah, I mean, they didn't really get to them yet. And she did like stay quiet and not try and take over all the time.
She wasn't trying to start shit, and she wasn't getting in other people's business more than you need to at a tell-all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Fair assessment. I didn't recognize Sophie with her dark hair at first. I was like, who's that? And I was like, oh.
She looks great.
Yeah, she did.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Kyle, let's talk about this tell-all. Let's start like sequentially. Let's start at the intros. Like, I love watching the entrances. I always think it's so funny, to see how people rock up and like what they come in with. Like, we can already see like Nikki arrives carrying this ridiculous tool bundle that ends up being this kind of ridiculous dress. I was shocked though. What's Chantel's friend's name from Single Life? Is it Mooney or Moody?
Oh God, I have no idea.
I swear to God, the production assistant. Yes, I could have sworn the production assistant that like welcomed Nicole and like brought her in looked just like her. I was like, oh my God, is that Chantel's friend? They're just like reutilizing this person over and over again on like any TLC show.
Well, did you see that he was spotted in old footage of another storyline too? I forget who it was.
No, I think it was My Big Fat Fabulous Life. He was a tour coach. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's making the rounds.
Yeah, making the rounds. But I also feel like letting Ashley sage the green room is a fire hazard and an insurance liability.
I was thinking the exact same thing. But to be fair, I feel like you probably, if you believe in saging as an effective tool to get rid of bad vibes, saging Gino and Jasmine like immediately as the first thing you do actually makes total sense.
Good for you, Ashley. Thank you for your service. Yeah. I just kept thinking about Nikki and that tool, and I was like, that is highly flammable. Like, stay away from her because that's dangerous. But
there's a lot of products being used in people's hair. Oh my, just be very careful.
Do you believe that Rob prefers blondes?
I don't think Rob gives a shit.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I feel like Sophie is trying really hard to create the drama at every turn. And I thank her for her service because that's what we want. But it was a little transparent.
Ashley lost 101 pounds.
Jeez.
Which,
oh, I thought it was 110. Damn. Oh, but yeah, a lot.
And like, how long? First of all, that congratulations, that's amazing. My first thought though is, how fucking old is this season before the tell-all was filmed?
Mm-hmm.
Because it has, like, it is medically, look, I'm not a dietitian, but generally, from what I understand, it is medically highly discouraged to lose more than 2 pounds a week. So it had to be like a year. At least, right?
That's a lot of weight. It seems she like that great. Would take at least a year. Yeah, she seemed happy. That's all I care about. And Jasmine and Nikki are friends, but have never really met in real life. I was like, somehow that's not surprising. Like,
no, Nikki's, that makes total sense.
Nikki's trying to use Jasmine for her clout, and Jasmine just wants to talk about plastic surgery.
So. I don't know if they're like using each other, but they just seemed kind of like two peas in a pod to me.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The Chitra's big announcement was kind of a wah, wah, 'cause we already knew what it was. And I was really surprised that everybody started dogpiling on Clayton in the green room before they even went out on stage for like keeping his mom in a closet. I did not expect that.
What's with the closet?
Manuel said, this is the translation, what happened with your mommy? Why a closet?
I mean, listen, as someone that has recently dealt with poor financial decisions by their parents, I kind of sympathize with his response, which is essentially, what? I mean, I had an apartment. It's not my fucking fault that she doesn't have anywhere to live. And I did my best.
I was kind of like, hey, your sister has a 4-bedroom house and didn't invite mom to come live with her. So,
right.
You know, like, why are we dogpiling on Clayton here? Look, I don't like Clayton, but this isn't at all the thing that I would like yell at him about. It's like the least, it didn't even cross my mind. His mom sucks. She hates Annalie for cooking chicken and not beef like her son would want. She's not great. And like, you know, get your shit together. And like, what happened? Yeah.
Nick is ready to defend himself from losers.
Who's ready?
Nick.
Right. I was like, who's Nick? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Devin.
Totally forgot that they were on the season at all. Devin looks way skinny. And I'm only concerned about that because it's clearly going to come up in the next episode in an uncomfortable way. and it's not going to be great.
I didn't even recognize Devin. I was like, who the fuck is that? I legit forgot Nick's name entirely. I was like, who is that? And then I was like, oh, yeah. I literally thought they were on last season. Like, what, before the 90. I was like, who are these people? They said zero words once they were on stage. Nothing.
Yep. Not a thing.
All right. So we get on stage. I have to make the requisite comment about Sean Robinson. Looking great. Loved her outfit. Love you, Sean.
There was one piece of kind of like self-reflection, fourth wall break that I'd really appreciated right before they went out, where I think it was Ashley who said something to the effect of like, I love all you guys, so let's go tear each other apart. And I appreciated the honesty there. Everyone did seem pretty supportive in the green room, except, you know, about Clayton, which, I mean, even if they're wrong, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Ashley, well, we'll get to it.
Clearly, Igor is the enemy right away.
Yes, obviously. Yeah,
which is fair.
They start right away with Nikki and Igor, which Nikki had mentioned that Igor told her recently that he was not trans attracted, I think is the words that she used. And so everybody in the green room heard that. So they're coming out guns blazing, like, hate Igor, right? Everybody's like team Nikki right off the bat. And Sean Robinson's like, Manuel, how do you like Ashley's new look? And he's like, yeah, I like it. Great input, Manuel. Thank you.
I mean, he's getting laid all the time. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit. Are you kidding me?
He doesn't.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the tarot card reading, Kyle? Did she divulge any information that you would have just never guessed on your own?
I can't believe that everything's going to come to light in a tell-all, which, I mean, it's obviously false, you know, and people are going to leave unhappy. That never happens. You are a liar.
People will have opinions. I don't need a fucking tarot card to tell me that.
Wow.
Thank you.
What, you didn't need an upside down six of swords to know that?
Some people are going to leave a little unhappy because of other people's judgment. No.
Holy.
Did she just look up tell all in the dictionary, or was this like a tarot card reading? Thank you. Clayton and Natalie have moved to Tulsa. We knew this from a spoiler as well, and he did stand up there recently. What I didn't know, are you surprised that Mom went with them?
I did not know that either. Yeah. Kind of surprising. I guess Brandy told her to fuck off for a second time.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Right?
And you're not allowed to live in a storage unit.
Nope. I just, like, Clayton did not seem thrilled to be there at all.
Why would you be? I mean, he looked like a total tool the entire season.
Yeah, he did. And then we hear quickly, before we start with like the in-depth sessions, we hear, I love that Sam and Chitra like blow the load right away. Like, they're just doing intros and Sean's basically doing her like round robin, say hello to everybody. And they're like, we're pregnant.
I've been a horny boy.
I know Sam has his issues, but like, they are the best couple on the season. And I like Sam. I can't help it. I like him.
That's how low the bar is, dude.
I know. They're so cute. So, she's pregnant. But we'll find out later if he's going back to jail. I'm like, well, I hope not. So Rob and Sophie, they dig into them right away. We really only learn about Rob and Sophie and Ashley and Manuel, really.
And then
we get a little
Gino
bit
of Jasmine,
but not much.
Yeah.
So Rob and Sophie moved to Austin almost immediately after they got married, saying that LA was too expensive. Oh, I could have told you that. And,
no shit.
You know, they wanted a bathroom so she can pee in her own home. So,
Annalie.
Annalise says love is stronger than a bathroom, to which Clayton is like, aw.
It should be. The online cheating discussion, Rob did not look good here. He downplayed it to the extreme, just like throwing out every single excuse and just trying to minimize his culpability in every way. And but he gets rescued, Kim. Who does he get rescued by?
Gino.
I don't know. No, he gets rescued way more by someone making an even bigger ass out of himself. Igor.
What? Oh, yeah.
Girls, what do you think we do? Masturbate is best. It's like a virtual game. It's not cheating.
Igor also said it's good to have a bathroom outside of your house so your shit isn't smelling up your actual home.
It's good to have a bathroom. Yeah, listen, Dabble. It's this game. Women are just objects for me to talk to on Instagram and masturbate.
Oh, yeah, this was bad. He was like, I was just responding to people. I'm like, you mean responding to like those spam messages that we all get that are like, tits, XOXO125. Right. Like, that's not a personal DM, Rob. That's not a girl that thought you were cute in your pics.
What? What are you what? You just completely rocked my world, Kip.
He's literally responding to like AI bots.
I know. I know. I still just love that Igor is basically saying like women that I chat with are just NPCs essentially.
Yeah.
You know? They're not worth anything. I just talk to them because masturbating is better than cheating and it's not cheating anyway. And you know.
Yeah.
This all makes total sense, right?
Yeah. I was shocked that like it finally clicked for me in my brain. Whenever I get like those kind of bot DMs and Instagram or like Facebook or like you get the spam emails, I'm like, who the fuck actually like reads this stuff and replies? And now we know.
Gino.
Rob, Igor, Gino, they're all on top. That's why we get spam mail. Thank you, guys. Well, Thank you.
Kim, AI girlfriends are a thing right now.
Oh, yeah. Big business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gino asks, so, since that incident, it hasn't happened again, though, right? Like, why do we even need Sean Robinson? Gino's now directing the conversation, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, apparently she checks his phone and it hasn't, but I don't know.
I mean, do you want to be in a relationship where you feel the need that you must check your partner's phone or else you're not sure if everything's okay?
Of course not.
It's like horrifying. It's a nightmare. But I think this is common. I think this is like more and more common.
It's disastrous.
Yeah. Then we get Claire, of course, has to make her appearance virtually. She's not in studio. She still hates Rob.
You know, watching that scene back where she comes in hot into his house and they get into a fight, watching the scene back, like Rob is aloof. He's not welcoming. He's a terrible host. We've already discussed this. But the beginning of that fight really starts when she straight up says that he's not a real man.
Yeah, I know. This made me look. This is, guys, I know that this is editing. Like,
yeah.
It really does remind me in times like this, I would have sworn like Rob was irredeemable and just in no way, shape or form could I ever see his side. But man, yeah, like watching that back, I was like, she did come in hot. I would be pissed. If I was Rob, I probably would be a little aloof too, because how do you even respond to that?
And really, like, they've been together for 2 years. They moved to a different state. They seem fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't know what their financial situation is, other than he seems to believe that he has improved their lot quite a bit, but we don't really get any details on what that even means. But regardless, the fact, like, mom hasn't improved her opinion based on stuff that happened 2 years ago when they were in financial distress. And that seems I don't know. It seems very like hard-headed. I think that it probably just has to do with the fact that she's in England and she just doesn't see what their day-to-day is. And she's made up her mind a long time ago, right?
I mean, if you think about it, Rob had to make at least enough money to sponsor her visa. You know, I mean, he didn't have. So we did not see, besides like a couple bros, we didn't see any ancillary characters in Rob's life, like no family that would have sponsored. You know, this used to be like a big part of the storyline with like Nicole couldn't afford to sponsor Asin. She had to ask her stepmom or her stepdad or somebody to sponsor him, and like Rob did it on his own, so he must have some cash. You know, he's got to meet a minimum salary requirement.
The whole if he loved her, he would have waited to bring her over argument. I think Rob makes a lot of sense with his rebuttal, which is like, okay, you knew my situation. And he asks a question that he doesn't really get an answer to, which I thought was kind of disturbing. He says, so should we, like looking back in retrospect, should we have just canceled the visa? And she doesn't even really answer,
which
is bad. I think she looked really bad. Even if he's not right and he should have worked harder, which I think is probably true, her mindset on this whole thing is still really strange. Like, I know it's a tell all, and the whole point is to dredge this stuff up, but she really feels like she's still living in the past about that.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if it's like contrived and it's just for the tell all, but like, Rob. I feel like Rob's expression of feelings always feels genuine. Like when he's mean, he seems mean.
He's really angry.
Yeah.
I agree. His feelings are usually bullshit, but
yes,
he definitely, he means it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did like see his point when he's like, you're my wife. Like you should support me, not gang up on me with your mom. I hate how these shows make me like be on Team Rob, even if just for a few minutes. I'm like, for a few minutes, I was like, I do. He has a point.
They've been together for, at this point, when this tell-all was filmed, it's got to be like 5 years or something, because they worked together for a few years before they got married. This is at least a year, at least a year later when this tell-all was filmed. And you still have a family member telling you to your face that you are not the right man for her daughter. What are you supposed to do with that information? Like, if it's me, I'm never speaking to that person again.
Because your options are like divorce or like be cordial. How do you even be cordial?
No, it's off the table. I want nothing to do with that person. I will never speak to them again, because that level of like disrespect and delusion, just, it tells me everything I need to know about that person immediately. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Claire's playing a losing game, right, with this. And I mean, she argues that he's not working and he's playing video games all day. Rob claims that's not true. So at this point, it's a he said, she said. Like, how does Claire know? I mean, maybe she's basing that on stuff that Sophie tells her, but then.
And, well, right. I mean, the only person that can settle that argument is Sophie, and she doesn't.
Right.
So at that point, I get why Rob is a little bit pissed off for not feeling supported, because if he says he's working and she says that he's not, well, there's only one person here that can illuminate the truth, right? I think that Claire is still harping back to before she got there.
She
just thinks of him as a serial, just lazy guy, which he might have been for sure. We've made fun of him for having job at gym. Not a real job at gym, by the way. But I mean, it takes money to move to Texas and get your life reestablished, and you have to have enough money to put down a down. Getting an apartment is brutal, especially Austin is not cheap. It's cheaper than LA, but it's not like a cheap place to live. Certainly not anymore.
You know, it's not at all. I was curious why they didn't go for like more of a low cost of living city. I maybe Dallas or Houston. I don't know what the cost of living is in those.
Sophie would lose her mind if she was in.
She would.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I also think, like, it's a little ironic that we're ganging up on Rob about not working when Sophie fully admits she was in Mexico for a full year before she went to the States on a K-1, just chilling like a villain. Like, just, and her mom was paying her rent. And it's like, wait a minute. Okay, so you weren't working. You were relaxing on a beach for a year. Mom's footing the bill for it. And you're like yelling at Rob for not, like, why weren't you working to contribute money to him to get a better apartment if you guys are in this together? What?
So maybe this is tinfoil. I just don't believe any of that's true. I don't believe really? Any of it. No.
Okay.
She was working the entire time. She was, because they have tiptoed around this the entire season. For some reason, they will not admit on camera, or they've been told by producers to not bring up the fact that Sophie has like 5 OnlyFans profiles, and that's where she made all of her money. And I don't understand why they won't talk about that, because it changes their story quite a bit. The reason that she says that she has enough money to support herself, and yet she for some reason doesn't, the reason why she was like, she wasn't doing literally nothing in Mexico for a year. She was making content by the beach.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just weird.
It is annoying they won't talk about it.
Yeah.
They remember when they finally brought it up with Mike and Hemainer?
Right.
And it like finally came out that he met her as a cam girl. I feel like this is going to sound off because there's so many like problematic people on this show, like especially with HGA, but I feel like TLC has the mindset that they want to keep it wholesome and like family friendly.
But like, American family friendly. So violence, right. Violence, beating the shit out of people, that's fine.
Cool. Yeah.
Sex, we got it. You go on Cam Soda, you're fired forever, even though you're our biggest star. We're going to fire you forever because you did some porn. But you know, if you start your own porn website,
we'll have you
sell
on.
And you sell farts in a jar, then you're good. Basically, if you have a good lawyer and you negotiate your contract, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. So I wanted to know.
Go ahead.
I wanted to know more about Claire dates bad guys, because Rob was like, oh, talk about pot calling the kettle black. Let's talk about the guys that you date, Claire. I was like, I'm curious. But no.
Yeah.
We don't talk about
it. I mean, this is something that I've experienced, and, you know, I think I've said on this podcast, there was a period where my mother-in-law only referred to me as that husband of yours, when addressing my wife. And, and I always took solace. It's like that line from Rick and Morty, like, your booze mean nothing. I've seen who you cheer. And that's kind of how I think Rob probably feels, because it's like, okay, you're shitting on me, but I'm sure Sophie is, you know, ranting and dumping on Rob all the stories she hears from her mom about the horror shows that she's dating. So shut the fuck up. Like, your critique of me means absolutely nothing based on your own behavior.
Yeah. I have in my notes, like, if my mother-in-law was shit-talking me, and my husband like agreed with her, was like piling on, like, you know, talking shit about, I would be like so mad.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and maybe not okay ever. I think that's it for like Rob and Sophie, right? Did we have anything else?
Literally the only thing Devin says the entire episode is that you need to support your husband, Sophie. I was kind of surprised given what we saw on the season that it was interesting to see what they didn't show to the cast, because we've been talking about how Sophie's a little bit much and, you know, Rob has some good points, but let's not get ourselves goldfish brained here. They showed literally only one moment the entire season where Rob was being an asshole, and that was around the online cheating stuff. They didn't show the cast any of his other shitty shit behavior. And I found it interesting that by the end, every single person there except I don't even remember. It seemed like everyone in the cast was Team Rob, which was kind of remarkable.
I know. It's crazy. Well, it's winter time, folks, at least for many of you who live in a cold climate. And maybe your hair's changing because of the seasonal change. Maybe it's drier, more brittle. The truth is our hair needs may change over time, whether just because of the seasons or changes in our diet or just getting older. I've been using Pros for a few years now, and since they started sponsoring this podcast, my hair has never been better. Switching to a custom hair routine from Pros has made my hair healthier and shinier, and I'm always getting compliments. We all have different hair concerns. I've always been concerned about my hair being dull, dry, specifically because now I live in a really dry climate, but I did not grow up in a dry climate. So finding the right moisture level in a shampoo and conditioner can be really hard with like the basic brands that you're going to find at your local drugstore. Pros is made to order hair care, and it's more than just about your hair type. I've had to change my formula from time to time, whether I got pregnant or I decided to color my hair or I moved to a completely different climate. You know, I've had aversions to certain smells throughout the years, like vanilla, for example, and Pros has got you covered. Pros has given over 1 million hair consultations with their in-depth hair quiz, and that's how I got started too. I mean, I love a quiz. Who doesn't love a quiz? Pros asks a lot of questions about your hair concerns and your circumstances. What kind of climate do you live in? Do you experience seasonal changes? Do you color your hair? Did you recently change your diet? And by analyzing over 85 personal factors, Pros determines a unique blend of ingredients to treat your exact concerns. My favorite feature is Pros' review and refine tool, which lets me tweak my formulas for any reason in case I change up my address, my hair color, or even my diet. During my pregnancy, I had a real aversion to like certain scents, and so I changed up what my hair products actually smelled like during my pregnancy to make it something that smelled good to me during that time. This makes it really easy to make changes when you decide to go vegan for the first 2 weeks of 2024, for example, or if you decide to try Bolliage. If you're not 100% positive, Pros is the best hair care you've ever had. They will take the products back, no questions asked. Custom made-to-order hair care from Pros has your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 50% off your first subscription order today, plus 15% off and free shipping every subscription order after that. Go to pros.com/90dayfiancecraycray. That's PROSE.com/90dayfiancecraycray for your free in-depth hair consultation and 50% off your first subscription order. And again, that's 15% off and free shipping every subscription order after that. This is a great deal. Go to pros.com/90dayfiancecraycray. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Like go for a run? Would you just take a nap or read a book? I know I would probably take a nap. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, to prioritize, and to make priorities. Therapy can really help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. My experience with therapy has been that when I know I have time slotted to talk through the hard things that are going on in my life, my worries, my frustrations, things that I want to work on, I'm better able to take care of the people in my life and just enjoy the day-to-day and be better to the people that I love. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it just empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched almost immediately with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/craycray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/craycray, CRAYCRAY. And thank you so much to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. So then we get back to Ashley and Manuel, and which lifestyle and sex magic? Is there sex magic happening? I thought this was a joke.
No.
There are penis candles which will make the love last if you cover it in your partner's semen. And then Manuel remarks he doesn't like to talk about private things.
I know. Ashley just describes how she somehow collects his semen, puts it on a candle, and then lights it on fire. I don't like to talk about private things. Sam wants to know all about this, which I'm curious if this is considered haram, but that's okay. But yeah, he's really interested in sex magic, which is funny because I feel like of all the couples on stage that don't need sex magic, it's Ashley Emanuel and Sam and Chitra.
Yes, I know.
What are you talking about? Shit's fine.
You're fine. Yeah.
Why are you escalating in like month two? That there's a natural progression here, guys. Come on.
I also thought it was so funny that like no one else except Rob has fucked in a public restroom. But it wasn't with Sophie, but he still like was like, yeah, right. Me. I'm like, don't talk about it, Rob.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, God. So I don't know. What did you think about this conversation between like Ashley's sister and their mom and Ashley? Like, this is kind of sad because I felt like they were like, we don't like Manuel. We don't know about him. And then who was it that stepped in and said, it was Jasmine that's like, you know, when you grow up in poverty, like Manuel did, you just like, you think about things completely differently. And the mom and the sister immediately are like, wow, we didn't realize that. Sorry, Manuel. It was weird.
It seems strange. I have a hard time believing that two people of color that have lived in the United States their entire life can't relate to being a little bit anti-consumerist about, you know, your spending habits. And it just seemed odd that it just melted away and that's just kumbaya in 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was weird.
It felt like they cut 2 hours of Jasmine explaining poverty to these two people.
Yeah.
And the whole thing on its face is just bizarre that it just seemed like at no point did they ever emotionally invest 1 second of thought into what Manuel's life is actually like. And they created a judgment on his entire character and basically assumed that he's scamming. And I think they even said that he's not the right person for my daughter. Like, again, that's similar to how I feel about Claire. Like, okay, fuck you very much. You know?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, what's he supposed to say to that?
I know. I didn't really buy Ashley's explanation about the 6 months versus 2 weeks thing. That seemed suspect.
Mean?
Basically, the reason why... So mom comes in hot because she's very disturbed that Manuel didn't tell his kids he was leaving, which I think is fair.
That's fucked up. And she says, like, would you just leave my grandbaby? Like, if you have a child with Ashley, what, are you just going to leave my grandbaby, like, and not tell them that you're moving back to Ecuador? Which is a fair point, honestly.
I think it's a fair question. But Ashley gives this explanation where normally after you're issued a visa, you would have 6 months to act on it.
I don't think that's true.
And then she said, well, we only had 2 weeks because there was political unrest.
Hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. It just sounds sus, right? But anyway.
You can still tell your kids in the 2 weeks, or you could have talked to them when you filed for the K-1 and been like, hey, I'm going to go live with my girlfriend in America. She filed for the visa and we don't know when it's coming. I don't know.
I mean, I can see Manuel's excuse, but I don't know. All of it seems flimsy. It seems like Ashley has moved past this point because I think we have seen that he does really care about his kids. It would be one thing if he boned out and just never fucking called or never did anything.
Half their drama
is about sending money to his kids. He's always on the phone with his kids. He's clearly emotional about it. So yeah, you could argue that it was a fucked up thing to do, but I think he's, I think he, it's pretty clear that he obviously cares about them a lot.
Yeah, I think he does too. And I mean, I think this is like, again, like, I'm not judging him for his previous choices. I mean, I think Manuel, if he had the option of like working in his hometown and being able to support his children and see them every day, that's absolutely what he would have chosen. But not everybody has that luxury. You know, a lot of people have to go far away for work so that they can support their families and they don't get to see their kids all the time. And I think that that sucks. And I think that that's not, you know, they don't have a lot of choices.
And I'm also uncomfortable with people that are comparatively privileged judging someone who has just straight up less choices for the choice that they ended up making because of poverty and living in a developing country that has fucked up politics. And he didn't have as many choices as you would have in the same situation in like if the, you know, countries were reversed, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I
still think it's fucked up he didn't tell his kids. So just to be clear.
I agree. I think he could have made different choices and the result would have been the same and his kids wouldn't have been shocked. Right.
Yeah.
But then then the sister says something that felt like kind of dark to me and we never got back to it. The sister says that she's worried that he won't be the husband her sister deserves. He makes her feel bad about herself and is deceitful. And then we never came back to it. But when she said he makes her feel bad about herself, I feel like that it felt a little dark and we kind of never got back to that. I don't know. Yeah. Everyone. And also that was at the point where literally everyone except Manuel is like crying now. I don't know. It was like a nerve that was touched that they just dropped. Then we get to the, I did appreciate though that mom said to Ashley that this shit is your fault too, because you got to talk before you get fucking married. And Ashley's excuse is such bullshit. Well, how am I supposed to know to ask about these questions about kids? And because I don't know. Ask your fucking mom. Ask your mom that had kids. I don't know.
Just like be a human who sees kids in the world and like think about how a parent might feel about their kids and like know what to ask.
Or just what the financial burden of a kid is going to be. You can fucking Google it.
I like that mom was like basically, instead of fucking all the time, you should be talking about the budget.
Yeah. That's a Kim and Kyle hot take right there.
It really is. I was like, she's inside my head. That's what I was thinking. But I mean, Manuel does explain that. I mean, then we get into like the poverty discussion. He's like, hey, you know, I've always struggled financially. It's a big culture shock to see people just spending money on fucking customized scented candles when I could send that home.
Lattes.
Yeah, I could send that home to my kids and like they could go to a better school, you know, or whatever. That has to be tough. Rob tells Manuel that he's lucky to have a woman like Ashley. I thought that was surprising.
That's a dig against Sophie for
supporting him.
Right. Yeah.
Because
they seem very united, even though, you know, Ashley almost universally defends Manuel against her family. And I'm sure Rob is sitting there like, look at that. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah. Then we have viewer questions, Kyle.
Oh, boy. How do you turn off being bi? How do you accomplish self-bi erasure?
Oh, my God.
Stupid question.
My favorite was this like British couple with holding a tiny baby, like a 2 week old baby.
Oi, Clayton, how do you resist the temptation to put a guinea pig on the Barbie?
So dumb.
These are the questions. These are the fucking questions, dude.
They're trolling, right?
I don't know. I imagine that because we know that there's in reality 20 hours of footage of this tell-all. I just can't imagine the ones that they fucking cut.
Oh my God. It was Millie in Nebraska that asks if you could have a kid with anybody in the entire 90 Day universe besides your current partner, who would it be? Millie in Nebraska, that is fucking savage.
Who would you inseminate? I mean, is this a question of like who would be the best parent to co-parent with? Is this a question who would you want to fuck? What are you doing here?
When they ask about a brief hookup, Igor says Jasmine, and Jasmine looks so uncomfortable.
Oh, horrified.
I like that Sophie said Yara. She, like, admitted. Like, Yara, I think Yara's pretty. Sam said any of the ladies in this room. I was like, no,
bad.
Sam,
bad
no.
choice. Poor choice. Incorrect. Try again. No.
I think he was just trying to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great.
Then we
Devin's like, oh Jesus. What did I do?
Then we talk about Gino and Jasmine and the never seen before footage.
Before we move on to that, I just like maybe the dumbest thing said at this entire tell-all was when Igor is like, I want to show you how good Russian is in bed. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
Isn't he Moldovan? Does he consider himself a Russian?
Your rationale for wanting to fuck is to show how good Russian men are. And what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know, dude. It's so messed up.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the... I know that people are sick of Jasmine and Gino. I get it. I'm not particularly excited. After season one, I've never been super stoked that they just keep getting recast and recast over and over again. But I'll tell you, I didn't laugh nearly as hard at anything else except Gino's face during the strip club scene. It was great.
I just love that they open with Jasmine, how's everything been? It's been so great since we got married. And then a full 3 minutes later, 3 minutes later, you do not look at me the way you look at the stripper. I'm like, I don't think he loves the stripper. Although you have found some like deep, dark Reddit threads where I'm always like, nobody runs off with a stripper. Apparently, people do.
Well, I haven't seen a thread where they run off, but fucking one has happened for sure.
Yeah.
It's almost always women fucking a male stripper, though, which makes me think that some of these stories could definitely be suspect. It could be just like male incel fantasy stories for
sure. That's what I think it is. I don't know a single woman that has done that, but they talk about the butt, of course. Gino, do you think it's the right size?
Jasmine wants bigger. It's not big enough.
Sam says it's $5 per cheek. He prefers all natural.
Great. Cool. Okay. Thanks, Sam.
We review the lip gloss. Nothing there. Then we talk about the bachelor party. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, they litigate about the Dane giving money thing a little bit.
There's nothing to say. Yeah, it's like nothing we've really talked about it.
Nothing really comes of it. And then, you know, same thing. Gino is still triggered by her being mean. Can't get his dick hard. Sam, it's funny watching that scene again. Sam says that Gino acts guilty as fuck about the lip gloss. Totally agree. We said that even though we kind of determined through some internet detectivery that we cannot claim credit for, that this scene was entirely fucking fabricated. Completely
this was Jasmine's lip gloss.
Made up,
as
dude.
Spotted in another scene on camera. This is her fucking lip gloss, but yeah.
Completely made up. Gino was a really good actor about looking guilty as hell. Okay, so bachelor party.
These strippers aren't even naked. Sorry, go ahead.
A, they're not naked. B, they don't want to fuck Gino. Okay. Even if Gino was an Adonis, these are professionals. Let's not go there. I love that Gino said, well, you had a stripper when we were in Panama. And her excuse, Kim, well, it wasn't a bachelor party. It was a divorce party, you fucking asshole. What? Like, isn't it way better? Like, she's like, I never went to this fucking strip club. And I'm thinking, like, it's way better to go to a strip club than yes! to have a stripper at your home.
Where you could go to your bedroom and, like, do whatever. I agree. Yeah. I would much rather see the person out in the strip club. Way safer. Gino's just like throwing dollar bills. He's putting dollar bills in a stripper bra and stripper underwear.
He gives one a hug, which is a bit strange. Let's be clear. I've only been to a strip club like twice, but it never occurred to me. Come bring it in, you know?
Bring it in. Let's hug it out.
Yeah.
I mean, they get Gino on stage and they twerk on him a little. There's like three girls humping him simultaneously at one time. But again, that's they're not even naked. Yeah. And honestly, Jasmine's starting to lose it watching this, but Gino is straight faced. He shows no remorse. Nothing. The funniest part to me is that he just doesn't care.
There are a couple parts where you can see the wheels turning in his head and he's like, oh shit. I'm gonna get stabbed later for that. But for the most part, he seems to be genuinely enjoying the fact that this is on camera. This has been in his spank bank for the last year. And he's loving this. This is great. We got a little preview of Clayton's humor for his stand-up comedy where he throws out a zinger at Jasmine. And
the evidence is pretty dooming.
Well, no, he says you should have spent that $2,000 on anger management, which he flubbed the delivery, though. He flubbed it.
Yeah.
And
Clayton.
Jasmine's... Jasmine just screams, "Shut the fuck up!" at this like total stranger. I fucking loved it. So good. And he goes beet red and shuts his fucking mouth. Smart.
I would be terrified if Jasmine was like screaming at me personally, but
yeah, that like there are two people that you don't go after at the tell all. Angela and Jasmine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we bring out Daisy. One of the strippers that was there that night who definitely remembers Gino specifically a year ago when she literally has Gino's in her place of employment every fucking night.
It is probably not that common that you have like a film crew there, though.
That's true. It looks self-filmed, like some of it. Yeah. I don't know.
When they said, we have one of the strippers from the strip club, I fucking died. It's like, what? What? What is she going to say? And she literally says one thing. She says, yeah, well, Gino was really awkward and he just wanted to hang with his boys. That's it. Because Jasmine loses her fucking mind because this stripper is the one that Gino gave the hug to. And so... That's all it takes. As soon as she hears words from this person's mouth, that is it. You are a Gino! And then it's over.
Yep. It was pretty... And then we got a cliffhanger. I mean, we know what's going to happen. Jasmine's going to storm off. Gina's going to apologize. She's going to say she wants to go home. She wants to divorce him. Blah, blah, blah.
Sure, sure. Sobbing. Screaming, sobbing. I did enjoy that. Did you at least fuck your wife when you got back from the bachelor party?
There's an entire contingent of people on Reddit that think Igor is hilarious.
I do think that this is a little bit his sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because remember how bad his jokes were. On the other hand, he's in Moldova. I think that this guy is Andrew Tated.
Well, we learn next time that Gino's ex worked at a strip club, and that's why Jasmine's so sensitive about
it. It's so dumb. They could have just completely made that up for drama, but whatever. Yeah.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear extended podcast commentary on 90 Day Fiancé, 90 Day Gossip, and coverage for other 90 Day and reality TV? Or do you just really hate ads? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90 Day franchise of shows and occasionally other reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed either via Patreon or with our 30-second sign-up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, usually 1.5 to 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Tuesdays, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, other 90 Day shows that are currently airing, and other reality TV. We're currently covering Single Life, 90 Day Diaries, and soon to be Love in Paradise, and also Love is Blind Season 6, and then Seeking Sister Wives. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. It's super easy to sign up. Go to realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com. Kyle, this is fun. Tell all part one. At least we only have two parts. I'm surprised they have enough content for two parts, but that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Life and Diaries.
Nick and Devin are going to be 10 minutes at most because everyone is going to ask Nick very nicely and calmly and rationally to please stop calling your wife a pig. And he's going to say no. And then we're just going to move on.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not great.
All right. I think that's all for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to Pros. You can go to Pros. That's PROSE.com/90DayFiancé Cray Cray and get our deal. You can get 50% off your first subscription order. And we have BetterHelp. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the episode. You can go to betterhelp.com/craycray to get 10% off your first month.
Yeah, thanks. And on our premium podcast episode coming up, we are finishing out Love is Blind. Hopefully. There might be one more episode of it, but we'll see.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Love
is Blind and Single Life is what we are covering on our premium episodes. You can go to realitycraycray.com, sign up for $5, super quick, super easy, get double, triple the content depending on the week. Yeah, this was fun. Tell-alls are always a little bit light. Sorry if this episode's shorter than normal, but, I'm not a comedian like Clayton. I just can't make shit up on the fly. What am I supposed to do?
And we'll be back next week with Tell All Part 2, the actual season 10 finale for real.
For realsies.
Excited to see what happens.
Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. Boy, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5, either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.